Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday morning. It's now 2 weeks until Wisconsin has a historic recall election between Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. We're going to be looking at the issues this hour of the program. We have two fine guests and we'll be welcoming your phone calls. The question of the hour is, should the governor of the state of Wisconsin be recalled? If so, why? If not, why not? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. And you can also keep a running commentary on Facebook if you'd like. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook. We'd like to read all of your comments, some during the show and some after the show. Two guests with us this hour. Earl Ingram is joining us. Earl is the afternoon drive host from 3 to 6 in the afternoon on WMCS 1290, which is based here in Milwaukee. He is with us. We're going to give each guest, I should tell you, the only format is a minute at the beginning of the show to tell why they feel a certain way about the recall election. Earl, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, and thanks to you and your listening audience for giving me such a great opportunity.
You're entirely welcome. David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor. He's been a newspaper reporter, too, for a number of years. He now blogs at ibwisconsin.com/blog/write-on. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Kathleen, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, we should have a rip-roaring good hour. Earl, let's start with you. Each of you will get a minute to explain why you think, A, the governor should be recalled or not. And Earl Ingram, let's start with you.
Well, the governor should be recalled for a myriad of reasons, but I'm from Milwaukee. I've been here my entire life. The governor, the first thing he did was denied access to many in the state, and especially in Central City, Milwaukee, when the toggle operation was basically cut loose. The governor basically had made up his mind. It wasn't his decision alone. It was a decision that was made by conservative talk radio, who the governor is beholden to, and so it didn't matter. There was no discussion to be had. The governor made up his mind, period. And to at a time when our community, which is in the worst throes of depression that I've ever seen in my 58 years of living, the governor didn't want to hear it, period. And so he ended that, and he ended a lot of hope for people who haven't had an opportunity to have any hope in our community. The governor then turned around and turned down and sent back $38 million that was earmarked to help the poor with badger care at a time when people are at their lowest ebb. We have a governor who could care less about the people who struggle in this state, but is more concerned about his national prominence. And he is controlled, bought, and paid for, and has a national agenda, not a local agenda. And that is why the governor should be recalled.
And the governor should not be recalled, David Blaska.
Well, yeah, Kathleen, you got to figure that whatever bad stuff Earl's talking about, you had 8 years of Doyle and 8 years of Barrett. Unemployment in the black community in Milwaukee is terrible, and it's unacceptable to Scott Walker. He came into office 15 months ago with a $3.6 billion budget deficit that he had to deal with. There was no stimulus money that had already been spent. All the special funds, like the Patients' Compensation Fund, had been already raided. The Doyle regime had raised taxes. He balanced the budget without raising taxes. In fact, property taxpayers, on average, had the first reduction in taxes since 1998, when Tommy Thompson was governor. And also, I think he's restored the balance of power to the taxpayers, to the citizens, from the powerful public employee unions, especially the teachers' unions in the local communities. And so now they can talk about education and curriculum instead of grievances. And I think that, his policies at 15 months, I think they're just starting to kick in. You know, we've Act 10, the collective bargaining reforms have saved roughly $1 billion. So this is all looking good for Wisconsin. I think the future is brighter than ever.
Let's look at the job figures that have been released, different sets of job figures released in the last couple weeks. We had one that the governor has touted from the Department of Workforce Development, saying that the state of Wisconsin created 23,321 jobs in 2011. We have the Bureau of Labor Statistics saying that Wisconsin was last in the nation in job creation during that time period. The question here is, who are we to believe? How can you have two such wildly different pictures of the economic situation in the state of Wisconsin? Earl?
The amazing thing about that is that no other governor has ever challenged the statistics that I know of publicly from the federal government. Governor Walker obviously does not know, and he does know. He is aware that those numbers have been fabricated and that they can't be substantiated until after the election. He is obviously dishonest, and he has made it clear that he will do and say whatever is necessary to be reelected. Almost a billion people spoke and made it, a million people spoke and made it clear that they don't believe and or agree with Governor Walker and his policies. So it does not matter. He can pull numbers out of the sky or out of his hat, and there are people who are going to believe that. But if the choice was between believing the statistics and the numbers from the federal government or believing the numbers and statistics from Scott Walker, which are made up and fabricated, I'm going to go with the federal government.
David Blaska, which numbers do we believe?
Well, you can believe them all, but the fact of the matter is that the increase of 23,300 jobs last year was due to the was reported by the quarterly census of employment and wages. It is a census. It covers 96% of all employers. I think it covers all employers of three or more people. The monthly surveys, and they tell you that it's just an estimate, is based on 3.5%. It's just a tiny sliver of the employers. And they're constantly being readjusted. The figures, the 23,000 job gain in 2011 alone, was done by civil servants in the Department of Workforce Development. I happen to know Dennis Winters, the bureau chief of that bureau that comes up with those numbers, all done according to federal guidelines. That man is no Republican, I can tell you that. And so these are the real numbers. They're a census of employment.
And yet, and then we'll move on to another issue. We had Paul Krugman on with us yesterday, who is a liberal economist, but did say, but he's also a Nobel laureate, and he did say on the show yesterday that the gold standard when it comes to a picture of job creation in the country does come from the Department, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right, and these numbers, these quarterly census are reported by the state to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You know, the fact of the matter is they don't get reported until June 28th. Normally, or they don't get verified. So, Scott Walker jumped the gun a little bit. There's this narrative out there that Wisconsin's losing jobs, and yet he's going around the state welcoming new employers, welcoming new jobs. So something wasn't jiving. You've got an increase in wages. You've got an increase in income tax that the Department of Revenue is noticing because there are more people making more income. All these factors, and a decrease in unemployment insurance claims, all those indicate more people are working. So they're going to have to go back and they take the census numbers, which are Bureau of Labor Statistics. Those numbers will be are duly reported to the BLS. So Paul Krugman is a Nobel laureate, but he also knows how to finagle statistics.
Earl.
You know, the decrease in the number of those who are applying for unemployment is based on the fact that so many people have exhausted their unemployment benefits. And to talk about what the job creators or the business owners have said really is hollow to me, because they've made it clear we aren't going to hire unless Scott Walker is reelected. So it's pretty obvious that they're working hand in hand with the governor.
Kathleen, can I take that one?
Yes, you can. Let him finish.
Because they're working hand-in-hand with the governor because it's to their benefit that he wins and continues to cut the tax rate for those corporations.
Right. And you know, Earl, I appreciate you said that because I think there's some truth in it. You know, we have elected, the people of Wisconsin elected in 2010, scant 15 months ago when Scott Walker took office in January of 2011, we elected a pro-business governor for a reason. We need to, you know, I don't know who else hires jobs. I mean, I suppose it's possible that a poor man offered you a job, but normally it's an employer who's got some capital and some investment who offers people jobs. Either that or you are an entrepreneur yourself and you save and you invest and you take a risk in the marketplace. Lots of companies going out of business. We know that. So I think what Scott Walker is saying, a lot of us are saying, is if I'm an employer and I'm going to expand, am I going to expand in Horicon or am I going to expand in DeKalb, Illinois? I'm going to wait a few weeks now, 2 weeks from today, to see whether Scott Walker remains as governor or if we elect someone like Michael Moore.
How do you get, speaking of expansion, one of the big issues, I've lived in Milwaukee for 38 years, and there is an issue in this city which probably doesn't receive enough attention from anybody, and it concerns the very large high rate of unemployment among African Americans, particularly in the central city. My question, because you talked about job expansion, and Earl, let's hear you answer this first. How do you get those businesses that may be expanding or may be new to locate where the need for employment in this state is the highest?
Look, I've been in the city for 58 years. I worked at A. O. Smith for 34 years, a place that really, at the time I started there at 18 years of age, there were 6,500 employees there. I've heard this fabrication that prior to Governor Walker and everything that we're talking about now, that the reason businesses that would not come to Milwaukee was crime. That was the main issue that we were hearing. I haven't heard that mentioned at all anymore. Now it's all about, you know, the tax base. And this is a reason why businesses won't relocate. The truth of the matter is there are businesses that will be willing to relocate. If we had one in Talgo that was promising to create and jobs that were certainly family-sustaining wages, not jobs that are going to $7-$8 an hour jobs at a time when the cost of living continues to rise. So when people are talking about businesses relocating in a city, certainly we are in our city and in the central city, particularly where it's 60% black male unemployment, when in the face of the fact that we had a major corporation like Talgo that was going to offer the best hope that we've seen in a decade or so, for the governor to squash that, is hard to listen to anything that the governor has to say in creating jobs after that.
David, do you want to address Talgo and the other issue of how do we expand jobs in Central City, Milwaukee?
Well, Talgo is almost like a talisman here that has that much allure. Apparently, Talgo was the only hope that Milwaukee had. Talgo came with a heavy price tag. It came with, billions of dollars of what the liberals like to call public investment, we like to call it taxes, to support this high-speed rail concept, which turned out wasn't all that high-speed anyway. That was a boondoggle, and many other governors around the country have turned down the Obama administration's attempts to spend taxpayer dollars on high-speed rail. Talgo is not a panacea. You know, you can't, Earl, I don't think you can simultaneously criticize the governor for trying to make Wisconsin more hospitable to employers and then decry the unemployment rate in Milwaukee.
Well, let me ask you about the unemployment rate, though. What can we do to lower that very high unemployment rate? What are the governor's plans for that, David?
Well, he's got to encourage business. First of all, you don't penalize. Wisconsin remains a high-tax state. The previous administration had raised taxes on business. He took off some of those taxes in a small way, I think roughly about 3% of the budget. So, you know, there's not a big giveaway here, but he's trying to send a signal to employers that Wisconsin is open for business again. When we get into a situation where a worker has a buyer's market, in other words, I've got many options to go to, then we're going to be better off. But in Milwaukee specifically, I think that school district has to be reformed. You need to have people who graduate. If people graduate from high school, they're likely to show up for work the next day. You've got to have people who are going to get good work habits, good study habits. That's where that starts. We need to, you know, and Governor Walker with Act 10 has, unfortunately, the Milwaukee public school system didn't take advantage of that. But there's an opportunity there, including with vouchers, to get a good, educated workforce, and that is what employers are looking for.
All right. We'll get Earl's response to education, too, which is another issue in this race. But we also want to take your phone calls. Our lines are filled. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, if you'd like to use that, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Should the governor of the state be recalled? We're talking about the historic election, which is now less than 2 weeks away, what the issues are. I will get to Earl on education. We'll go back to that, but I want to go to phone calls after we pause for just one moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will focus on education the second hour of our program this Wednesday. This caught our attention yesterday's news. School districts are going to be able to submit proposals for innovative educational programs this year. They'll be competing for federal grants up to $25 million. It's part of the three-year-old and still controversial Race to the Top program. The rules for the competition were announced on yesterday by the Department of Education. We'll talk about that the second hour of our program. Two guests this hour. David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor, has a new blog, ibwisconsin.com/blog/write-on. Earl Ingram is our guest as well. He is the afternoon host, The Evening Rush, on 1290 WMCS. One of our guests is in Milwaukee. That would be Earl. The other in Madison. That's David. Let's go to your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Kelly in River Falls, our first caller. Hi, Kelly.
Well, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, gentlemen. I have three parts of the Walker thing, and I'll be as concise as I can. When it comes to collective bargaining, I believe it was a move done to dry up Democratic sources of campaign funds. But in the same token, as a spouse who works for the state in a custodial capacity, the union was never interested in her until this happened. Otherwise, she didn't hear from them. And so that's my thoughts on the collective bargaining. Although the people at the bottom, she took a 12% pay cut. People at the top took a 3% pay cut to do this, and I think that was a little unfair. When it comes to mining and the power plants, I'm very concerned that Governor Walker will give away the farm to the Koch brothers, and we'll lose our natural resources and our natural assets. But when it comes to the recall, the people of Wisconsin did speak when they elected Scott Walker over Tom Barrett, and I don't think a do-over is right either. I thought the Democrats should have put somebody else out there that had some other ideas, because obviously the people didn't want Tom Barrett when the election took place. So I'm a progressive, but I'm certainly not 100% partisan. I think both sides have arguments that have merit, and I'd like to see a little more thoughtfulness and a little less partisanship.
Thanks, Kelly, for the call. What about the recall and necessity for a recall? We had an election, Earl. Let the governor serve out his term. Then we'll have an election. There is a sentiment, strong sentiment, that feels that way in the state.
That may be strong sentiment, but when they talk about the people of the state spoke, well, what are the million people who signed recall petitions? Are they not people of the state? I mean, are they not aliens? The last time I checked, the governor got 1.1 million votes to get elected. Well, almost that many people voted to have him removed. So to continue to hear people say that the people of the state spoke is absolutely ridiculous, because almost as many people as voted for the governor the first time around have decided they want him gone.
David.
I think there is a lot of recall fatigue. I really appreciate the comments from the gentleman, Kelly, from River Falls. There's a lot of recall fatigue. We just had an election. We're going to have another election in the fall. I mean, my inboxes and my mailbox are just full of solicitations and for campaign contributions and campaign literature. There's a little fatigue that's going on here. I'll point out, though, that all the Democrats combined, the four real Democrats on the ballot on May 8th, combined they got something like 230,000 votes fewer than the signatures on the recall. So a lot of people, they signed just to, you know, just to be polite and said, go away. You know, I'll sign, fine. You know, just don't leave me.
I think nothing could be further from the truth. And if that was the case, with the $30 million more that Governor Walker has, if what you say and conservatives say is so true, then it's amazing to me that within 3 percentage points, the mayor of Milwaukee, who has less than one-tenth of the amount of money that Governor Walker has, is within 3 percentage points. So I think that speaks volumes to the fact that there are people who you may say are fatigued, but come Election Day, you will see a surprise.
Kathleen, can I just make one other quick point?
Sure.
Let's say this guy Walker is recalled, let's say, and the four senators are recalled. The Assembly is going to remain overwhelmingly Republican. Act 10 is not going to change. No tax policy is going to change. Nothing is going to change.
Well,
that's why Kathleen Falk, you know, made this terrible promise, which doomed her from the start. I know Kathleen Falk. I worked with her and against her here in Dane County. She promised her heart and soul to the union. She said she'd hold the state of Wisconsin hostage, the whole budget hostage, in order to undo Act 10.
Only three.
Even that wouldn't have worked because we would have had a budget anyway. We just operate under the Walker budget.
Only 350,000 people in this state are union people. So this is not about Act 10. The mistake that you people are making is that you seem to think that the only reason people want to see Governor Walker recall is Act 10. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is more than that. It is all the things, including the inquiries into the criminal activity that occurred in Governor Walker's purview while he was the county executive of this city. You can't dismiss those things and just think that the only reason Governor Walker is being recalled is Act 10. That's not true.
But, Earl, don't you think that that was the impetus for this? That's why tens of thousands of people marched in Madison, because of a loss of collective bargaining.
I don't disagree with you that that was the impetus. I'm a former union person. What I am saying is that even the tens of thousands of people that marched in Madison still didn't equate to a million people voting to have the governor recalled. It was more than that. They may have been the catalyst, but make no mistake, you can't just say that this is about Act 10, because it's a whole lot more involved than Act 10.
Let's go back to phone calls. Our number, 800-486-8655. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have two different viewpoints on the question of the hour. Less than 2 weeks before the election, should Governor Scott Walker be recalled? And let's go to Mike in Oconomowoc. Hi, Mike.
Hi. My statement, I guess, deals with more the idea that the Republicans are touting as job creators, that job creators don't create jobs. Demand creates jobs. The median income of a person in the United States today, if it was in the same median income from 1972 to today, they would be making $95,000 a year. And that's not the case. Job wages have stagnated. People don't get more for their money. And to give more money to people, rich people, who can only spend so much money, is ludicrous to think that that's going to solve our problems. We need to get the wages up. I think that the minimum wage should be doubled, if not more than that. And because those people are the people that spend their money. Rich people put it away in offshore tax accounts.
And Mike, do you think the governor should be recalled or not?
I do believe the governor should be recalled, just in the fact that he promotes an agenda of a top-down top-down monitoring.
All right. David.
Well, you know, we this sounds like a general election thing here with Earl and Mike from Economwalk. You know, we had this argument in 2010. I mean, we elected a conservative pro-business governor and a conservative pro-business legislature. So all this amounts to is a do-over. The same issues that they raised then, they're raising now, especially since apparently Act 10 is not part of the package here. This idea that rich people put all their money in offshore accounts, well, they do if they're driven out. You know, even Great Britain found that out when they had, the Labor Party confiscatory tax policies. Some of the great rock and music stars, took up residence in Switzerland. They can do that. By the way, they've got more options. This idea, though, that Mike has that we should, he didn't use the word, but it sounds like redistribution. Take away the, someone's got money that you should be having. So take that money from him and give it to Mike, and he'll spend it. And raise minimum wage. Earl, I hope you're opposed to that because you need, because I am here in Madison. We have so many young people who are not getting what I had when I was young, that first job bagging groceries, that first minimum wage job, show up for work on time, follow instructions, and like Woody Allen said, 90% of life is just showing up.
Let me
respond to that, please.
Go ahead.
Number one, this whole argument that people want to redistribute wealth, I think, is a hollow one. Because I've never been able to understand why people who struggle every day for a paycheck somehow align themselves with that 1% of the people who own 44% of everything in this country. This is not about redistributing wealth. The problem is that wealth has been redistributed to a handful of people. And this whole reality about job creation and all of those things, where was the argument and the debate before NAFTA came into existence, which took all the jobs out of this country, which made it possible for these corporations to, instead of looking at short-term profitability, long-term profitability, change everything to short-term, and to compare third-world nations in what those people make to the American people and say you have priced yourself out of the market is disingenuous, and that's what the conservatives do.
Let's spend a few moments before we go back to phone calls on an issue that Mayor Barrett has been running a lot of ads about the last couple days, and that concerns the John Doe probe. He's asking for the governor to release the emails that were sent in regard to the exchanges between the governor, if there were any, and those who have been who are facing problems because of that, who have been indicted because of that. Is this a fair thing? Should those emails be released? Is this something proper for the Democrats to be bringing up, David?
Well, I guess Tom Barrett now is not only a candidate for governor, he's the acting district attorney in Milwaukee County. He wants emails. This is a wonderful strategy. It's a desperate strategy, but what else has he got? I want to see the emails. No, you're not going to see the emails. You have no business seeing the emails, and there's nothing. he's already accomplished his purpose, and that is just to throw that out there. It's a little bit of Joe McCarthyism that he's engaged in here. And let's remember one thing. Scott Walker is the one that called the authorities into the Milwaukee County office. There, he said there's something wrong here, and apparently some fellow there was misappropriating funds under him for a veterans thing. He called the authorities and said, let's check this out here. I don't like what I'm smelling here. And that's he's the one that called the fire department, so to speak.
He has a criminal defense fund. Is that something that should concern voters?
I don't know. I think he's being prudent, that's all. I don't think that he's, and there's been no evidence and no suggestion, really, that Scott Walker ordered anything or required anything. The fact that they had, the fact is that even the allegations that we're hearing, people went to great lengths to cover it up so that he wouldn't find out.
Earl, is this issue of importance to you?
This is absolutely an issue of importance. The governor has been, to steal a line or coin a phrase from conservatives, convorting with thugs. The truth of the matter is, if the governor was not involved in it, it goes to the character of the man who had so many people who were willing to break the law around him in higher offices. Had this been Mayor Barrett this thing would have been blown out of the water by conservatives. It is hypocritical to now say that no, people should not be able to see those emails. I want to see them. What is the governor hiding? And yes, it has a bearing on the credibility and the character of the governor. Now, you know, it's again, conservatives can sway this and swing this any way they want to. The truth will rise to the top. And that's the fact that whatever is going on, whatever has gone on, there's something that's not right. And Governor Walker should certainly not be given a pass on it.
Bill in Madison, hi.
Hello. I have mixed emotions about the recall because, one, I've been following Scott Walker since he was just in the legislature, and I've always known that his agenda ultimately was to make Wisconsin into a right-to-work state. And I've always seen him as a person without an iota of integrity or honesty or deep common human decency within him. That said, I was shocked at how many people who are independent voters, who pride themselves in being independent voters, voted for Scott Walker and discovered afterwards that they were shocked by what he was doing. It seems to me like it was predictable that Scott Walker was going to be the kind of governor that he has turned out to be. And I believe that the state basically is getting the governor that it deserves.
So do you believe in a recall bill or not?
Well, I'm going to vote against Scott Walker as many times as I possibly can, legally. But no, I think
okay.
I'm glad he added that part legally. Because some of us are worried about that, by the way.
You're worried there's going to be shenanigans in this race?
Oh, sure.
On the part of the Democrats? What worries you?
Well, just what your caller said, he's going to vote multiple times if he can.
You think that happens in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it does. You know that. I mean, you've had prosecutions in Milwaukee County. You had District Attorney Chisholm prosecute voter shenanigans. You had the City of Milwaukee police task force that came out with a report on that. So we know that it has happened, and probably. Very difficult to prosecute, I'll admit that. That's why there haven't been more prosecutions. I'm sure it happens. Of course it happens.
So you don't think this is going to be a fair election is what you're saying to me right now?
I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I do think there will be some shenanigans. You asked if there will be some shenanigans. Yes. Will it be a fair election? Probably.
Well,
will Scott Walker win? I'm predicting.
All right, Earl, go ahead.
If you want to talk about shenanigans occurred with the redistricting. Because you know, Republicans have done everything within their power to try to disenfranchise people of color. I understand that in this state, especially black people, only make up 6% of the population. And if you want to talk about somebody who feels disenfranchised and who's disenfranchised, it is black people in the city of Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha, because we've been under assault. To talk about there have been people who have voted illegally and it's some major issue, nothing. That's a fabrication. The thing that people should be concerned about the most is what is going on, not that a few people are going to vote illegally, but what Governor Walker knew and what's going on with the John Doe investigation. That's the bigger issue.
All right, we need to pause for a moment and we'll return. We're talking about the historic recall race, June 5, between Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, looking at the issues in this race and welcoming your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our lines are filled right now, but nobody, you can't even send a message. We got all these other ways to communicate. It's 2012, for heaven's sake. So you can send an email at talk@wpr.org or also leave a message on our Facebook page, too. People, I think, are keying into this race right now, perhaps more than they were. We tend to do things right before things happen, right? So the Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Two guests with us, Earl Ingram, Earl is the afternoon radio host for the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, which is here in Milwaukee. David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor and newspaper guy. His new blog is ibwisconsin.com/blogs/write-on. To more of your phone calls in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two this morning, the U.S. Department of Education announced a new Race to the Top style funding program. This one is different. It's for individual school districts that create programs designed to close the achievement gap. We'll be talking about that the second hour of our program today. And I haven't forgotten, we'll get to education in this discussion in a moment. 800-486-8655. Rick in Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning. It's been reported for quite a while that Mr. Buddy or Boody, who's the chief investigator in the John Doe against the governor, has a yard sign on his yard that is laudatory toward the mayor of Milwaukee in this particular election. And I would just like to say, so good for the at least the what would you call it, the appearances of I'm trying to think of the word.
For impartiality,
I guess, is the word. I mean, this kind of thing has been typical in Milwaukee, I think, for generations now. The fact that the legal system is dominated really by the interests of the Democrat Party.
John Chisholm did speak to that, saying that that sign was put there by his wife, not John Chisholm's wife, the aforementioned person. It was put there. There's been a lot of this going back and forth. Who signed the recall petition? You know, if you work for the media, if you're a teacher in Janesville, getting out names out there that are public, this has been kind of a sideline in the race. Is it something that is important, or is it a distraction, David?
Well, I think this, you know, the recall is the distraction. I mean, it's almost... I printed up on my blog a bill that I sent to Mike Tate at the Democratic headquarters for $16 million in taxpayer funds. I don't care where Barrett gets his money. I don't care where Scott Walker gets his money. But the taxpayers are footing the bill for a recall that, in essence, is a do-over of the 2010 election. Not only that, but Mr. Buddy also apparently is a big-time donor to the Democratic Party candidate. So, you know, is there a little bit of partisanship here? I'm sure that he struggled mightily with his wife to prevent her from putting that sign up, but he failed in his efforts.
So you don't think he can be impartial in a John Doe probe?
Who can be impartial? He tries to be. I think he can be. I don't know whether he is. But can he be? Possibly. I don't know him yet, but I know what he's done.
Earl.
I think it's an absolutely non-issue. I think... this is another thing where Republicans are making much ado about nothing. Look, people have a right to their opinion on things. It does not matter. They're Americans. They haven't committed a crime. So if you are in this gentleman's position and your wife put up a sign about, or signed a recall petition, they have a right. They have not broken any law. It is the conservatives that make it appear as though people have done something dishonest. And also, to hear people continue to talk about the $16 million that it's costing, I'm a taxpayer, and it doesn't bother me that part of my tax dollars will go to recall a man who I feel is dishonest.
Ken is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Ken. Hi, Ken, are you there?
No.
All right, Ken is gone. Let's go to Rose in Blanchardville. Hi, Rose.
Hi. You know what? When the election went and I was listening to the things back and forth, I basically thought, well, he won the election and the people should get what they got. But then one afternoon I was watching the news and Scott Walker was on and he recalled something that he did with the Medicare system. And I thought, wow, this guy isn't that bad. He's going back on something that he did, realizing that he did something wrong. Well... in the evening news, I found out that he was made to do that by the federal government because he was infringing on the federal government law. But he didn't say that. And that was the thing that got me to change, because that's called a sin of omission. when you don't tell the whole truth, that's what caused it for me.
David.
Well, that's fine. If that's your opinion. I just want, you know, Earl's saying here that Americans have rights and the prosecutor's committed no crime and hasn't broken any laws. I think we could say that about a certain governor we have right now, Scott Walker. But apparently he's got a different standard for someone who if a candidate opposing him, like Tom Barrett, makes an accusation, Scott Walker must be guilty. John Chisholm hasn't made that accusation. No one has made that accusation. But by golly, Scott Walker is guilty of a crime because someone has made an accusation.
What do both of you think of the way this race has been covered, of the way radio stations in this state, newspapers in this state, blogging in this state has become so, so highly partisan? Is that?
I don't know. Has it?
I think it has.
Well, you know, I'm old enough, Kathleen, to remember the so-called war at home in Vietnam, you know, and you had a generational gap. They called about a generation gap where fathers were angry at their sons. And you had, you know, you had the so-called the blue collar and, you know, the steel workers and whatnot, and the old line unions were angry at the professors and whatnot. This does approach that divisiveness. I can tell you that I've lost, as wonderful and genial of a guy as I am, Kathleen, as you can tell from talking to me, I've lost some friends. I mean, I really have. And I don't push my politics on anyone. I'll shake anyone's hand, and I've got neighbors with their, you know, with their recall signs up. I've got my I stand with Walker signs up, and I bear no one any ill will. I'm always willing to debate the issues here. I do think we're going down a foolish path here because, believe me, someone's going to feel very, very put out of sorts, and we're going to have continuous and never-ending recalls.
No, but I want to ask you about the press coverage of this.
It's been good. You get left, right, in the middle. I've seen right down the middle. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is getting a lot of heat because of the editorial. All of a sudden, they're supporting Joe McCarthy now, according to the Democratic Party. I think the coverage has been great. We've got the national, I watched Ed Schultz last night on MSNBC. It's pretty amazing. But nonetheless, you've got Hannity on the right. I listened to it, watched that.
In the state of Wisconsin. The press in the state of Wisconsin.
I think the coverage has been very good. I really do. I read the press.
Earl, what do you think?
Well, it's pretty obvious that one of the main problems in this nation now is the fact that a handful of people own and control the media. I keep hearing people talking about liberal bias. The conservative machine that has been unleashed in this race and across this state is absolutely shameful. And there aren't enough voices. Liberal opportunities, those who are considered to be liberals, they don't compare anywhere near the power of the conservative machine that has been unleashed. And so for people to talk about the way this has been covered, let's be honest. The majority of the control over what happens and what comes out on this race and other things in this state are by conservatives. And corporations, media corporations that are controlled and bought and paid for by a handful of wealthy people in this nation. So there isn't any balance. You know, I mean, my program is a one and a lone voice when you hear all the conservative outlets that are out here spewing all this hate.
Let's go to Tom in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Kathleen. I think it's admirable for you to do a show on issues regarding this recall because this has never been about issues. It's been about hubris and emotion. And if the Democratic leadership had just taken a deep breath, they would have realized how foolish this whole attempt was. I'm not necessarily a promoter or a supporter of Governor Walker, but the Democrats knew from the beginning they didn't have anyone to run to win. And if you weren't going to win, then don't do it. This is going to set the Democratic Party back 10 years. They're going to lose the Senate. They're going to lose the governorship. And they have nobody to come up from the ranks.
And why do you think they're going to lose, Tom?
Because Governor Walker is going to win. Look at how many people voted for him in the primary that didn't even matter to him. Mayor Barrett has very, you know, lackluster support. People aren't going to go out of their way to go to vote for him. As your Republican guest said, you know, this is a do-over. We've already had this election, and the recall fervor is over. I think Walker will win by 60% or more.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. Would you agree with that, David?
Yeah, I do. I see this thing widening. I drove up to Green Bay a couple weekends ago for the convention, up to 41 and whatnot, and past Oshkosh, saw the billboards for Walker. Took the back roads back through towns like Berlin and Poissippi and places like that, and tell you what, in the farms, on the front yards, we stand with Walker. Unbelievable. And the unions don't really like Tom Barrett. They never did. They spent $5 million to deep six him. That's money down the drain. Members' money, by the way. Now it's not about the collective bargain anymore. Tom Barrett doesn't talk about it. And people are disgusted, and it is going to be very damaging to the Democratic Party. I totally agree. They're going to be out of office and out of power here for quite a while.
Earl, what do you think?
You know, those who make the statement, the bold statement, that the Democrats don't have anybody to run, and as if Mayor Barrett is just a bump on the log, again, it's within 3 percentage points. Governor Walker beat Mayor Barrett by 100,000 votes the last time, and many of them were Democrat and union people who thought Scott Walker was somebody else. They have since realized the mistake that they made, and they're going to change their minds. You can talk about what's going on up north all you want to. Those signs that you see there, those are small populations in those little townships. The city of Milwaukee, which is being galvanized right now and mobilized, if you put all those little townships, the numbers together to vote for Scott Walker, and we get what we know we are working on getting as a turnout here in the city of Milwaukee, we will nullify as many of those little townships that have all the signs in the world. The thing that you guys are missing is the city of Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, and Kenosha, with a mobilized African-American community, it will offset as many of those little townships as there are up north.
Chris in Luxembourg, hi. Are you there, Chris? All right, Chris is not there. Let's go to Ken in Milwaukee. Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question and a comment. My question is that we constantly hear about Tom Barrett losing 36 or an increase 36% unemployment during his tenure as mayor. During that same period of time, if I'm not mistaken, Scott Walker was in control of the county, which was also losing jobs at the incredible rate that they're claiming the current mayor and the mayor at that point was what was losing. So I'm trying to figure out how the Republican Party is going to balance the fact that this was a joint effort at this particular point between both the mayor and the county exec.
All right, David.
Well, that's partially true. If you think that those job losses didn't occur in the city, you're entitled for that opinion. I'd only point out two things. One is there's no question that Tom Barrett raised taxes and Scott Walker, as executive, did not. The second thing is Scott Walker inherited an unemployment rate statewide of something like 8%. It's now at 6.7%, well below the national average. So, if raising taxes is a spur to economic growth and it puts more money into people's pockets, they redistribute it, that's one theory. I think the theory has been pretty well disabused.
Thanks very much for the call. We haven't talked about education, and darn, we only have a minute left. Earl, I promised I would get to you on this at the end. The school district in the city of Milwaukee has some substantial problems. There have been voucher schools. There have been charter schools. What is it that whoever wins this race needs to do to make sure that students graduate from high school and everybody has a great school? Earl?
Oh, well, number one, I can tell you that there have been some major changes in MPS under the leadership of President Dr. Michael Bonds and the new superintendent, Dr. Gregory Thornton. MPS has been transformed from the inside out. There have been some major structural changes that have taken place, and MPS is headed in the right direction. But it certainly doesn't help that we have a governor that has pulled $170 million out of the district at a time when the major changes are taking place. the answer is not choice schools. Choice schools have not proven to do any better job at educating students than MPS. As a matter of fact, the contrary has been the case. So with Governor Walker continuing to pilfer money out of the public school system at a time when they're talking about the reason that businesses don't want to hire is the lack of the education of people in this city, it's a smokescreen is what it is.
Is he pilfering money? We have 15 seconds, David.
Well, no, actually, you know, the teachers union has been looting the Milwaukee Public Schools for years, and it was joined by some school board members who saw it as, you know, as a gravy train for Viagra and everything else. You know, put the money in the classroom, not in lining with unbelievable pension plans and Viagra health care.
Viagra? Oh, my. We don't have enough time. I'm sorry. We'll have to leave it there. Gentlemen, thank you both very much
for
being with us.
Thank you.
Earl Ingram, radio host for The Evening Rush on 1290 WMCS. He's on from 3 to 6. David Blaska, he has a new blog, and you can find him at ibwisconsin.com/blog/write-on. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program, and thanks to Brett Jaspers for on-air production.